Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So you're Joel.
Yes.
I'm Chris.
Yes.
So me, you, Blair, and Jonah are all not the same person?
That is the rumor.
Okay. All right. No one's giving me a straight answer because questions have been asked this past week of someone assuming at least Blair and Jonah
are the same person.
Believes they're the same person. Apparently that person has not ever listened to an episode of Trash Spring Attire, and honestly,
that guy doesn't listen to our podcast.
I'm kind of offended.
That guy doesn't listen to our podcast.
Okay, whatever.
Well, we got a lot to talk about.
We do.
Because here's the thing. We're recording this Wednesday night.
Yes.
And I was thinking about it. So, it's Saturday, NXT, Sunday, SummerSlam,
yeah.
Monday, Monday Night Raw, Tuesday, Tough Enough, and Wednesday, NXT again.
Right.
This is, like, back in those days.
And honestly, think about how, like some of the talent field, because some of the talent's probably wrestled four nights in a row.
Yeah.
You also got SmackDown tapings on Tuesday, they weren't at, you know, Tough Enough.
Yeah. No, and that's just like... This is like, remember back in the day when I tried to watch all the wrestling that existed,
yeah.
And it was
and then
terrible?
This is the week where they throw all the wrestling at you.
That's what it felt like this week. I was just like, I gotta watch more wrestling now.
And it's one of those things, like, I really want to watch NXT, but I also really kind of want to, like, a couple days of a break. Which I'll get, you know, I'll put on NXT. I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, but then after that, I'll probably be like, I'm gonna, you know, not watch as much for a little while. But who am I kidding? I'm going to watch
stuff. Well, here's the thing. The big difference is when I tried to watch all the wrestling, for those who don't know, there was like maybe a 3-week period where I was like, I'm on a wrestling podcast. All right, a wrestling column.
Back when we had time to do that.
I need to be well-versed in wrestling. So SmackDown every week, Raw every week, TNA every week, Ring of Honor every week, FCW Championship, because it wasn't NXT yet.
Right.
FCW Championship Wrestling, watching it all. And it was awful. But part of that was like, there was a lot of terrible wrestling.
And here's the thing.
We've had, you know, pretty much great shows
this
whole time.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. You brought up a point. You thought that, you know, by doing that for like a 3-week-ish period, that, you know, that would help you become more well-versed in wrestling. As we've learned on the comment section on Inside Pulse, that is not the case. You can be well-versed on all things wrestling and never watch a single minute of it, apparently.
Yeah.
So there you go. And then, of course, you know, life happens and you just, who's got the time of day to do that kind of stuff? And then even this week, it's like, fine, I'll carve out time to watch, you know, TakeOver, SummerSlam, and Raw, and Tough Enough.
Well, there's like, honestly, what it is there's a big difference in sitting there and being like, I understood that was a good match, and I enjoyed that match.
Yes.
And once you've watched a certain amount, for me at least, it's just a lot of, I understood that was a good match.
Yeah. And I mean, in this one, like, after SummerSlam, like, Raw matches, like, I just didn't care.
Yeah.
I was like, it's a Raw match. It's just either a continuation or it's a throwaway, so who cares?
But,
you know?
Well,
but I mean, just, like, from the match standpoint. But then you had, like, other elements to Raw that made that exciting as well.
Well, you had three, like, return/debuts, like, three different ones.
Debut?
Yeah, the new Wyatt.
Oh,
fella.
The new Wyatt guy. Okay.
So
he looks like a giant bear.
Yeah, Big Brett or Big Bray.
Big Bray, yes.
Until he gets an actual name.
I think they did say his name, but I think Michael Cole like said it once, like later in the show.
He's gonna get a weird Wyatt family name. Like,
sure, yeah.
They'll say it later.
So is Eric Rowan just not in the Wyatt family
anymore? Doesn't it feel anymore? Really awkward? They just kind of, like, replaced Eric Rowan. We don't want you anymore.
I mean, he worked great as a tag team with Luke Harper.
Uh-huh.
But beyond that, there wasn't much there.
Here's the thing. I really, like, we always said he was the weak link of the group. He wasn't bad, but he was definitely the weakest of the three.
Right.
And he was the, you know, the one that didn't quite seem on the level of the other two. But it feels really uncomfortable, like, and those things, like, we're like, he's going to be the one that is going to struggle when they split up. And he was the one that struggled when they split up.
Yeah.
But when they split up so that they could get back together in a few months without Eric Rowan, it's just kind of like, oh.
And I mean, then, you know, they tried. Then Eric Rowan got hurt. And so now they're in an awkward position of, you know, what do we do now? Let's get this giant dude with a beard and throw him in the mix. Maybe, which is, you know, fine, you know.
Maybe he won't have a crushing fist gimmick.
Let's keep our fingers crossed on that. Now, that does kind of raise a question.
Okay.
Because we all know who was long rumored to be that third guy that'll team up with Rollins and, not Rollins, Ambrose and Reigns. It was supposed to be, from what we understood, was Sting.
Mm-hmm.
According to the end of Raw, Sting is concentrated elsewhere.
Yes.
So, who else is gonna, like, team up with them?
Clearly, Blue Pants.
Clearly, Blue Pants.
That's what Blue Pants is gonna do from now on, is just be
that mysterious third man.
Yeah.
Person. Third person, you Neanderthal.
The third person.
Thank you. I don't know, you know?
I don't know. I kind of feel like Roman and Dean got the win at SummerSlam, so, like, it's the kind of thing where they win on the big pay-per-view to look strong, but then they're going to lose the rest of the feud so that the Wyatt family looks strong. But we don't want them to look too weak, so the reason they're going to lose is because it's suddenly a 2-on-3 feud.
Yeah, it was like the thing that from the CM Punk interview when, you know, he was talking about how at, what was it, like TLC or something like that, it was 3-on-1.
And he's going to beat all three?
He's like, beat all three, but make sure Roman looks strong, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those weird things where it's just like you're asking for... Not saying you're asking for the impossible, but you're making it more complicated than it has to be.
Yeah. All right, but let's go through, because we have a lot of wrestling to talk about. So let's start with NXT.
Yes.
In Brooklyn.
Yes.
One of the really interesting things about this was watching it, I was like, I'm not surprised by any of these matches. Like, I think we both called the card identical, and we both called the card perfect. I think. Because it was a lot of, like, people debuting.
Right.
Like Apollo and, like, Liger.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they're going to win their debut match. And there were two basically loser leaves town matches with the two people losing their title so they could go up to Raw.
Right.
So we knew that those were happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, there was no...
Did both of us call Vaudevillains winning?
I did.
I don't remember if
I did.
I think I did as well. Yeah.
I think we did. Yeah,
and that's the only one where it was kind of. It felt like it could go either way.
Yeah, but so there's no real mystery to this card, but that didn't take away from it at all.
No, not at all. And it was not like it was, you know, oh, it was glaring obvious that this was the way it was going to go. So that makes the ending, or make you dread the ending during the entire match.
Yeah,
and. Because it's something that we've already have installed in us about NXT. It's like, okay, these matches are going to be great no matter how predictable we think the outcome is.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things where it's like, we don't really care what the outcome is in some of these. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the wide majority of the time, you know we're going to get a quality match regardless.
Part of the thing is when somebody I know... or I'm suspecting somebody's going to win cleanly. It's when I'm going into it and be like, I know there's going to be shenanigans in this match.
Right.
That's what kills the match, is knowing that. Not necessarily knowing who wins or who loses, but just knowing that the first...
And not even, like, good shenanigans. Like, you know, like, it's going to be some weird, dumb shenanigans.
Like,
that's
even,
gonna be...
even if it's good shenanigans, if I know, like, I've seen this storytelling before, and I know that this match is going to come down to somebody winning by shenanigans. Mm-hmm. It's just the whole first 15 minutes of the match, I'm like, this all doesn't count because it doesn't, it's not gonna, there's not a back and forth, there's not a beating the guy down, that's all gonna play into the winner.
Right.
It's just shenanigans. So that's when it feels like the match is a waste of time.
Right. It was like, you know, like any, back when the Authority was still around, like it was any Seth Rollins matches, it's like, okay, we're just going to sit around and wait for Kane to get involved.
Well, no,
like it was what was it, the cage match or something,
I mean,
like that.
The worst than anything else was the Nexus thing.
Yeah.
Nexus interfered with the main event every week. And so it was just the main event was going on. You're like, I don't care about this because it's going to end in a no contest because Nexus is going to interfere. And so, and here's the thing, is like, we had two matches on Raw with shenanigans. Or not on Raw, on SummerSlam with shenanigans. And it was part of the thing where it was like, I didn't necessarily mind it as much.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it, like, we'll get to it later.
Yeah.
But part of it was like, I didn't know if there were going to be shenanigans, which plays a big thing into it. And so, not expecting there to not be shenanigans, and NXT has been really, really good about that, especially on their big shows.
Right.
Those are matches where two people go at each other, and one person goes over the other clean.
Right.
Especially
on the major shows, the big, you know, the big title matches or whatever, like, or the big rivalry matches. Like,
yeah.
Typically, save for like Blake and Murphy using shenanigans to initially or to retain championships a few times. Aside from that, they're very rare with NXT. You know, it seems like they pick their spots a little, you know, carefully.
Mm-hmm. And so that's I think that just helps it so much, and that's why like it didn't matter that Chaucer's gonna lose. It's Bayley's time. That's clearly the story,
right?
But I'm not just waiting for Bayley to win throughout that whole match. I can sit and enjoy the match because I know that the whole match is part of the story being told. The back and forth and the building and the storytelling of the match all counts because I know it's not going to have a swerve at the end.
Right.
And I mean, that's really just the point that I wanted to make was like more clean wins.
Right, but then again, it's going to be one of those things where it's just like you have guys like Brock Lesnar or champions like Seth Rollins or whatever, where it's like, in Seth Rollins' case, it's like, how do we find a way to have him be that weaselly champion and yet still win championship or retain his championships? And then you got Brock Lesnar whenever he like is up against somebody and you know that he's going to be gone for a while, so he probably should lose or lose a championship or whatever. How do you do that? You know, now they found a pretty creative way, especially in WrestleMania 31, to get away with that. Some people aren't really too keen on what happened with SummerSlam, but honestly, it's just I thought it was kind of creative.
Well, here's the thing with both of those.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know going into either match. In neither case was I where we're going in going, there's going to be shenanigans. With WrestleMania, it was, I don't know if he's going to win. I don't know if they're going to stick with their own. I mean, the Seth thing didn't really occur to
anybody. The Seth thing felt more like an internet speculation of, like, you know, hey, this could happen or something like that. Or just people, like, you know, fantasy booking.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, my God, this is actually coming to life.
It felt like, going into that match, it felt like, you know, they're either going to stick to their guns or they're going to cave to fan demand at the last minute.
Right.
And so because of that, each pinfall felt legit.
Right.
Or each attempted pinfall. And then with the one with Undertaker this week, I could see them going either way. Like, you can have Undertaker win this match cleanly, and it won't hurt, you know, that won't kill the Brock Lesnar legacy.
Right.
But at the same time, how does... The question feels like, how do either one of these guys lose to the other one?
Yeah.
But I've seen, you know, I've seen The Undertaker lose to Brock Lesnar. It's possible.
Yeah.
It felt like... And it didn't feel like, surely there will be no shenanigans. But it felt like it's very possible that this could have a clean win.
Yeah.
So, and that's really what it is. It's something with Seth, specifically, part of it is the character that's been built around Seth, where he... I'm trying to think of a way to say it without saying B-plus player, because they've, like, they've run right. that into the ground pipe bomb style.
But he's a character that's relied so much on shenanigans or getting outside help or weaseling his way yeah. through wins.
To say nothing about the wrestler, Seth Rollins, who's right. amazing.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the character that he plays is a guy that can't quite hang on to that title legitimately.
On his own, yeah.
And so... It's interesting to watch each month. How's he going to hang on to it this time? Because they have, for the most part, done something different. Like, Battleground was just dumb luck, as far as Seth Rollins goes. I mean, I guess they've all been just dumb luck, but, like...
I can't remember what happened at Battleground.
Undertaker came back.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, he turned into the Undertaker. That's right. Okay.
It was a big deal.
It all... Because these pay-per-views get shuffled around month to month every year.
Yeah.
So it's like, when did that happen? Okay, all right. Is Big Show still, like, did he interfere with it? Is that match still going? Oh, no, that was last year's.
But that's the thing, is, like, it's... That part of that's the reason why the Seth Rollins thing is okay, because it's so built into the character.
Right.
And that there's a lot of just, like, fighting dirty and taking advantage of situations and stuff.
Yeah.
So, big highlights of NXT.
I mean, you know, you can pretty much find at least one thing in every match, or at least, you know, close to it. You know, Liger and Tyler Breeze was a fun way to start the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Liger doing the selfie thing was incredible.
Mm-hmm. I really don't want Tyler Breeze to get lost. Like,
Yeah. Because right now it's like, whoever's hot right now, or whoever is getting built right now, put him up against Tyler Breeze for Breeze to lose against at all these specials.
Yeah.
You know, with Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, and, you know, Liger or whatever, even though, you know, Liger was like just a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even still, like, I don't want to see Tyler Breeze be fed to everybody.
Yeah. But, I mean, Tyler Breeze should be NXT champion sooner than later.
Or at least just bring him up to the main roster, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, he doesn't really even...
I don't think Prince Pretty is going to make it on the main roster. Like, if he wants to go with a totally different gimmick, sure, but I think Prince Pretty is going to get Emma'd, is going to get Adam Rose'd. Like, I don't think...
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, he's one of those guys where, like, once the bell rings, he's, you know, he's a serious competitor at that point.
Yeah, but so was Fandango at WrestleMania 29, and...
He still did the little dance around thing, you know. And Tyler Breeze has his own, you know, gimmick stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
But by and large, you know, when the bell rings, he's good to go. Which is definitely not Adam Rose. Which definitely wasn't Emma. You know.
Yeah.
Like, they, you know, and because, you know, that in-ring character gimmick really works for, like, Bray Wyatt. Now, people like Fandango, Adam Rose, and Emma, no. Because, you know, the bell rings, you're supposed to be taking this seriously. This is, you know, you're in there to compete.
Yeah.
You know? Breeze, it's like, it's one of those, I feel like he's one of those type of guys where he can play it up at times, but when it comes down to it, he can switch to that other gear.
I hope you're right.
Just go back to that takeover. I can't remember which
Tyler
one.
Tyler Breeze can do it. I have
Yeah.
I have every faith in Tyler Breeze.
Right.
I do not have every faith in Raw Creative.
Fair enough.
Or in audiences for Raw.
Right.
I don't know if the whole Prince Pretty gimmick will be taken seriously enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see it Fair happening.
Enough. Fair enough. I just, you know...
And the thing is, like, if he was NXT champion, you could lean a little bit on the champion thing, mm-hmm. ease the gas on the Prince Pretty aspect just a little, like not get rid of it, but like
right.
just kind of ease it, focus on the him being the champion, him defending the championship, right. and that would be a cleaner, smoother transition into
maybe
a career.
You know, maybe he comes up to the roster full Prince Pretty thing, and then just eventually eases up off of it. Just like uses it as a way for people to notice and, you know, become aware of him.
Yeah,
in a big way. And then ease up on it, because that's not what they did with Fandango. Fandango, they went full tilt with him and stayed full tilt. Same with Adam Rose, you know. And we talk about, like, you know, John Cena, you know, they went full tilt and then eased up, and then the whole Marine thing, and then he just kind of transitioned into he's just John Cena now.
Yeah.
You know.
But you can do that when you get to be on TV at 10 o'clock.
True. No, you're right. Every Absolutely. Week for Absolutely. 4 years. Like, some people aren't given that opportunity.
That's the thing. Like, yeah. we
Some, like Adam Rose, will have to deal with like being on TV for like maybe 5 minutes.
The John Cena thing, the John Cena used to be Thugonomics and has evolved, is pulled up a lot as a good example of extreme gimmick to begin with, and you ease
up. Yeah.
But like that's the thing. It's like, yeah, Adam Rose got 5 minutes a week, then every other week, then
a feud with a bunny.
Yeah, then once a month. And so like, so if Adam Rose came out now, he would have to come out full extreme,
yeah.
Rosebuds, just so he kind of...
Those are people remember who
exactly.
he is. Yeah,
exactly. Like you, at that point, you're doubling down on the... And something like Fandango, that's all Fandango is now, is that dance thing. And
yeah.
So, it's just... I want it to be good.
No, I know. Yes, of all the current NXT talent that could... theoretically be on the main roster within the next year, he is the one probably most at risk of
coming back down to NXT and
coming back
again.
Down to NXT just because he gets overhandled by, you know, the powers that be on the next level. You know, if you handle him the way that NXT is handling him, I feel like, you know, he'll be more successful.
Okay.
Not, you know, telling him to go out every night and just, you know, play into that Prince Pretty fashion thing during the match.
Yeah. It was great to hear that many people mark out to a cappella Price is Right theme song.
Not even, like, the good version. Like, here's the thing. They Big Cass struck gold the very first introduction of Blue Pants. And... for some reason, like, the past few times, they went with this, like, weird Richard Cheese sound-alike guy going, da-da-da-da. Like, are you kidding me? Come on. Yeah, that's... You're missing out on the joke, you know?
Yeah, but, like...
I mean, sure, at the same time, it's still funny.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, it's got a little bit of that, like, you know, Lawler coming out. Like, hey, everyone, let's go Fandango-ing.
It is nothing like Lawler saying
Fandango. It feels a little bit like that.
No.
A little bit like that. I'm not saying full on, but it's like, hey, these guys responded a lot to it. Let's, you know, market the crap out of it.
They have done a fantastic job of not overusing Blue Pants.
Well, yeah, because she was an official, like, signed talent.
Did that work? Like,
fair enough.
I mean, yeah, external circumstances might have
I'm assuming that has probably changed by now, hopefully.
But if that had happened on Raw, they would have had Blue Pants out every week, twice a week.
Right.
And they would have had Lawler come up and say, everybody sing along. And we would have all had to sing along to
they
the Price is Right.
They would have had Bob Barker come back on the
Bob
show.
They would have gotten Bob Barker to come back and, like, bequeath the song to her. It would have been a segment.
Even worse. They would have had Drew Carey. Both of them. Him and Bob Barker.
Yes. That's, yeah, you're
that
right.
That is the worst case scenario for anything. Anything that ends with Drew Carey bequeathing anything to anyone, run for the hills. But yeah, Vaudevillains end up being the new tag champions. It was a fun match.
Because they're awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, you've successfully turned me into someone that likes Vaudevillains.
I told you.
But at the same time, I also do like, you know, Blake and Murphy and Alexa Bliss. They're good heels. You know, they're good jerks. Mm. Apollo Crews, his debut, no surprise. He wowed. And of course, beat the crap out of Ty Dillinger. Actually, that match went back and forth a little bit more than I was expecting.
Yeah.
I was expecting, like, full-on Baron Corbin squash.
Speaking of Baron Corbin.
Yes. He and Samoa Joe had a good match. I would like to believe that's because of Samoa Joe. Some people would be like, oh, no, Baron Corbin held his own on that one as well. That's why it was great. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I still get the credit to Samoa Joe.
I mean, it was fine. Baron Corbin did put on his best match.
Yes, no, absolutely, ever. Absolutely.
Obviously, Samoa Joe is the more talented. I gotta say, I'm really pleased with the character they're giving Baron Corbin now.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to when we're supposed to cheer for him.
The good guy that came and beat up random jobbers in 12 seconds compared to the bad guy that come out and beat jobbers in 15 seconds?
While
he stands there and broods?
They really, like, have highlighted, especially in, like, the video package, they've highlighted he skipped the indies because the indies was a dumb way to make it to the WWE. He was a football player. Like,
that's a good way to get heat in NXT and on the internet, sure. But that was just on promos. Like, nothing has changed.
I'm not complimenting Baron Corbin.
Okay.
I'm complimenting NXT Creative.
Coming up with a reason to be like, all right, they're going to boo you. Let's lean into it.
For leaning into those select things.
Yes, yes. Congratulations, NXT Creative, for that. Absolutely. I'll give them 100% credit for that.
I'm bringing around on Baron Corbin.
No, you're not.
I'm going to do it. I'm not even that big on Baron Corbin.
You're just seeing...
It's just a weird challenge now.
You're just like, I've got this magical power. Let's see what I can do with this. No, it's not happening.
We'll see.
No.
We'll see.
No, we're not.
All right.
Moving along. It's one of those things. There's so much that happened, I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Big title matches. Bayley versus Sasha... Clearly amazing.
Yeah. I would say match of the night, honestly.
Match of the night, easy.
As much fun as the main event was, I don't know, like the moment of, you know, the match itself was incredible. But then like that moment after the match, it kind of just raised it to a whole different level.
Yeah. I would say that Becky Lynch and Sasha's match from mm-hmm. last time was a slightly better match. But the storyline of Bayley trying so many times and finally winning it was great. And yeah, it had the unfair advantage of getting the curtain call at the end.
Right.
So it's perfect, and you're getting all choked up inside.
Pretty much,
when
yeah.
When it's happening, and they're holding up the four fingers. And
then I'm sitting back thinking, like, tomorrow night is the biggest SummerSlam ever, and like those two will be fighting that one. Mm-hmm. And yet there they are. Hugging each other. Hooray.
But it's the curtain call.
No, I know.
They let him do it. And that should have closed out the show. Like,
it should have.
You know what?
And don't even give me like this co-main event bullcrap. Like, I get it. They really leaned into that. I get that. No. The main event is whatever goes on last. Now, I will say this. Sasha and Bayley should have gone on last.
Yeah.
As much of a big moment, it's like, oh, Finn Balor's at the top of the ladder. Hooray. It's a great visual. Yes.
The four women in the ring... Hugging each other, holding up the four fingers.
Yep.
Is the image to close the show out on.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It is. It absolutely is. I agree with you 100%.
And so, but that being said, it was a lovely ladder match.
Sure.
Those gentlemen are very good at their job.
Absolutely. Personally, my favorite moment was when Kevin Owens had the ladder kind of pinned up. Against Finn Balor, against the ring apron, yep. And he, you know, was running as if he was going to do his rolling bowling ball thing,
and then just
stopped and just punched him.
That was
oh
nice.
My god,
that
yeah.
Was nice. What does it say? Like, it's NXT Takeover. They're somehow better every time. Like
remarkably, like it's astonishing at this point. Like
it's the kind of thing,
how
it's the same Marvel principle. Like they have to make a bad one at some point, right?
Right, and then Ant-Man comes out, and you're like, it's not great, but it's not bad either. Like
Ant-Man was great.
I haven't seen it, so I'm just going off of what people have said.
Iron Man was great.
And it's one of the things, it's like, I wasn't expecting it to be bad, but if anyone had, like, a chance of being bad, it might have been that one.
Well, that's the
thing. And then it, you know, ended up being good, and, like, times a billion probably better than the Fantastic Four movie.
Well, that's the thing, is like, you have that thing where it's like, you know, 3 years ago, I'm like, hey, there's going to be this movie with this raccoon and talking tree, and you're going to love it.
Right,
like, shut up, nerd.
And that was the other one. I was like, okay, this one could fall. This one could, like, the gun could go off to start the race, and the horse just falls flat on his face out of the gate. Like, it could have been that movie, which is what Fantastic Four did, you know?
That's the thing, is, like, these takeovers are just like, one of them's got to be bad.
Right.
Or just, like, not up to par, at least.
Right.
And they're not. They're all...
And that's the thing. It's like, there hasn't been a bad one. It's just like, you can go back and be like, oh, well, maybe that first takeover.
No, like, you go back and watch Arrival, you're like, Arrival's nothing like they're doing now.
Right. But then again, still, at the time, it was incredible, and it's built like, exponentially ever since.
I remember watching that being like, wow, they really kind of went all out the first time.
Like, you remember, like...
That's not going to happen again.
Like, their first special event, it was just like... yeah, they're like, oh man, Paige and Emma, like, this is the best Divas match we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then, like, the very next one, or a couple later, was Charlotte versus Natalya, and that one, you know, still pretty high up there, but now you're just like, I don't know, Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch, I don't know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even now, like, you know, Sasha Banks and Bayley,
yeah,
is high up there as well. They find these ways to... continue to make these events such a huge deal and pay off,
mm-hmm.
you know? Now, we've had all these big events that just sputtered, you know? But for some reason, like, they found this magical potion to build up something and actually live up to it.
Yeah, I mean, it can't last forever.
Sometimes exceeding it.
But I hope it lasts forever, you guys.
Me too. So. And that's the thing, like, you know, a lot of people were like, we touched on it a little bit, last week with the Triple H's takeover press conference, where, you know, everyone, you know, has growing concerns of, like, all these the main people of NXT moving on to the next level. You know, what is that going to do with your current talent? And Triple H was like, it's going to challenge us to make new and exciting characters more often than these Raw guys, because there's no other level other than the main roster.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of like stuck, not stuck there, but you've got the same people over and over again. But NXT, that quote unquote weakness of losing your top guys every now and then is kind of what's great about it, is it keeps it fresh.
Well, that's the thing, is like there's so many things that I look on and where I know I'm looking at it through nostalgia goggles, but it's like, you know, when then they announce the new stuff and I'm like, that's not like the, like, I, freaking, like, I don't know, like Pokemon, where I'm like, there's 150 Pokemon, everything else is terrible. So, like, when they announce these new wrestlers, I'm like, you're not Sami Zayn, you're not, but they're charming and they win me over every time.
And it's like, you know, they have these new guys come out and you're like, you're not from the independents.
Yeah.
But yeah, they end up being, you know,
or even if I've heard of them, I don't already love them. So, like, you know, when they were like, you know, Kenta's coming, and I'm like, that's cool. You know, like,
and then I'm sitting here like, no, Joel, you don't understand. It's Kenta. I'm like, okay. I'm like, dude, just watch YouTube.
that's the thing. It's like he does the GTS, and I'm like, I understand that intellectually, but I'm not, like, you know, latched on.
Right.
And so,
and the same thing with, you know, with Finn Balor. Like, you know, he wasn't even as much of a household name on the indie circuit as much as Kenta was. You know,
mm-hmm.
But you know. The one thing's like, oh, he was the guy with the face paint. That's really cool. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then he comes up to NXT and he's like, you know, the next greatest thing ever.
Well, that's the thing, is like, each guy that they do and they work it and it pulls into this thing. I'm like, that's a great guy and a great wrestler.
Right.
And it's just, it's mind-boggling almost that they're able to continually do this and... I feel as excited
mm-hmm.
About, like, Kevin Owens as I did about, you know, Sami Zayn or Neville or, you know, who came on months or even a year earlier.
Right.
I think Paige is a great example where, like, we were seeing, we saw Paige.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I was so excited for Paige to come up to the main roster. That was going to be the thing. When Paige comes right. to the main roster.
You'd heard that for, like, almost a year. Like, you guys, just wait until Paige comes up.
I know. And that's the thing. It's like, and so, but then I look at it now, and I'm watching this whole Divas Division. I'm like, I hope you guys don't get demoted to the main roster.
Right, yeah.
Like, and so the thing, and but that has happened. Like, three have gone on to the main roster, and it feels like we have, it feels like we have Bayley and nothing else. Like, there are other Divas there, but.
Yeah, but it's like there's this long drop-off of these other Divas that haven't been quite built up just yet.
Yeah, but, and at this point, I have no doubt that, like, 2 months, 3 months from now, I'm like, that diva.
Yeah.
It's just, it's, I don't know. I'm just going to gush on for NXT.
Right. And another thing, they did announce on the NXT show that they're going to do, I don't know exactly how they worded it, but the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic or something like that.
Yeah.
Essentially a tag team tournament. I don't know if this is going to be a regular thing. It would be nice if it would be. I'm guessing whoever wins the tournament will get, like, a number one contendership or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how that's going to play out. If it's going to be, like, involve just, like, established tag teams, or would it also involve, you know, those plus, you know, singles competitors that aren't usually in tag teams with guys that they necessarily wouldn't be paired up with.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's an opportunity there to just kind of
to make a tag team or try one out.
And it would also spark, like, feuds or rivalries, you know, between, you know, these tag team partners that didn't exactly get along or whatever, yeah. You know?
I mean, I really like it because I've been, you know, long proponent of the matches on the weekly show should be worth something.
Yes.
Points or, like, you know, any kind of thing. Too many of these matches are just because.
Yeah.
The greatest thing TNA ever did was that Bound for Glory series. Where they had several weeks, you know.
Yeah,
you
went and that's, and they, I think NXT did something like that, like a multiple week thing where it was like a, they did like a diva tournament whenever Paige had to vacate the title. And then like the championship match was on one of the special shows, yeah. But it was like, it was a tournament that lasted multiple weeks. Same thing with they did a tag team tournament. They did one for their number one contendership.
Yeah, no, that's, I just, I think that's great, and I think it adds so much to the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right, SummerSlam. Opening match. I don't care.
Yeah, no, throw that out the window. Got it out of the way. Kudos for WWE for throwing that out of the way. Although, we did get a opening promo from Jon Stewart and Mick Foley, so.
We did get that. That was nice.
Yes, that was nice. Even though it felt like an awkward SNL skit, you know?
It did, but in a way that I didn't care.
Sure, yeah, yeah. And again, it's Mick Foley, you got Mick Foley on our TV. Hooray, hooray, hooray.
Yeah. Here's the thing, like,
I will say this.
I always,
watching it back, like, the next day, I laughed a little bit more at that opening thing. Watching it live, I was like, come on, just let's just get through this and go.
Here's the thing, it always feels like Mick Foley's kind of on the outs with WWE. Like, because he'll
so it's like every single time he returns, it's a bigger surprise because it's like, oh, I thought he was arguing with him.
Phew, okay. Like, cause that's the thing is, like, he'll be pretty vocal if he doesn't like something.
As we found out with Tough Enough.
And so,
especially this past week.
Yeah, but like that kind of thing happens. It's not like they need him for a lot of things, so like.
But he's a good enhancement for some things.
Yeah. So it's just nice when it happens. I'm like, okay, everybody's still okay with each other.
Right.
Good. At least
for tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So yeah. I don't even know exactly what order things happened.
Okay. Stuff really worth talking about, because there's a lot of, like, the Intercontinental Championship match just happened.
No. Yeah.
The Kevin Owens Cesaro match was really good.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it, but it also kind of just happened.
Right.
It was exactly what you expected. These two guys did a really good show. Mm. I do not regret watching the match. I enjoyed it, but it just happened.
Right.
So the big things were the two main events.
I mean, you got New Day getting the championship back.
You do got New Day getting the championship,
which
back.
Which just opens up a treasure trove of different ways for them to gloat about that. Even more so than the last time they were champions.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but the interview that the three guys did with Michael Cole today, they had a different musical instrument this time. It was a cymbal. And it was obnoxious, but dear God, I laughed my head off. And who knew that Xavier Woods would be such a good trombone player? Or a serviceable trombone player, I guess.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you can probably do that. You give him about 6 hours of trombone practice. Go!
No, yeah, you're right, you're right.
But
yeah, that Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match was a lot of fun, you know. But again, like, we had seen that with those four teams before, so we kind of knew what to expect. I think that was the exact same match that was on the pre-show for WrestleMania 31.
It might have been. Same guys.
The same guy. I don't know if Primetime... Yeah, Primetime Players was on that, I think, too.
I think they were.
Yeah, so I mean, it's one of those things that's like, you know, even the Elimination Chamber tag team thing, like, clearly the tag team division that they've got right now, they know what they've got, and they deliver more often than not. You know, they're not going to be on the main card or the high up card, but they're still going to, you know, they're still going to perform incredibly.
Yeah.
So yeah, New Day's the tag team champs once again.
No complaints. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I did like the Roman sleeping chant.
Oh man. I get on fans a lot with weird chants or disrespectful chants or whatever, but the Roman sleeping one was A-okay in my book.
It's, you know what, like,
especially since, like, you know, he got up and tagged back in, like, immediately and got the hot tag, like, right when that happened.
I don't know how exactly like that match was planned out.
But it felt like he got caught a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. There's no way to not feel like he gets caught. Like, no, he's just laid there until they stop.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
So it just, and that's the thing, is like, yeah, it was Roman that it was being directed towards, but it's kind of a chant at that, like, oh, I'm hurt on the outside.
Right.
I'll come back in a little bit.
And then hot tag and everything's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't. Yeah, you can chant again that.
Sure. But, yeah, the main things were the two big matches. John Cena versus the lost member of ABBA. How ridiculous was... I know it's just a white version of his regular getup for Rollins, but...
Well,
Lord, it was off-putting because it was so white.
Well, there was something with, like, all the guys who came up from NXT wearing white. Because he wore it, and Big E wore it.
All New Day wore it, yeah.
Yeah, but that's because Big E wore it, and they got a match. But there was, like, a lot of being white being worn. And on TakeOver, there was white being worn. Like, it was some intentional thing.
All right.
So, but yeah, it was... And, like, to go ahead and tie this into Raw, because, like, that's where Stewart made his explanation.
Right. It's a nice little bit of consistency, I guess.
Yeah, it was. Like, it was. Especially because he talked about being angry about the streak.
Right, exactly, yeah.
It was talked about on Squared Circle, and it's pretty well known that WWE is at least aware of Squared Circle, or somebody that is reading it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if they, like, read that post and were like, oh, that's better than our idea.
Right, and it's one of those things, like, how could you prove it otherwise?
Yeah.
But it's not a terrible excuse. I would have just been like, you know, hey, me and Seth Rollins are friends now. He came on my show and gave me a belt. Like, we buried the hatchet, and this is, he came on my show, it gave me a token of appreciation. Now I'm returning the favor, showing up on his show and giving him a token of appreciation by beating John Cena with a chair.
Well, here's the thing. And
that also would have been a good explanation.
I don't want to get too excited about this.
Yeah.
But, like, Seth has both titles.
Yes.
Seth is in a match with Sting on Night of Champions.
As it's been announced, yes.
It's been announced, so that's what they're going with. That means John Cena's not getting a rematch at Night of Champions for the title.
Right.
The last thing we've seen John Cena do in the ring is give his finisher to a guest host.
Yeah.
When is the last time you've seen a face give a finisher to a guest host?
Like the time John Cena gave an AA to Kevin Federline? I don't know.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
I don't know.
And John Stewart is a well-beloved guest host.
He is.
It's a different situation.
But he also, you know, he kind of recognized that he kind of deserved it.
And I'm not saying I'm not going to go as far to be like, perfect time for a Cena heel turn. Of course it would be, but
I was about to say,
it always would be.
There's always a perfect scenario.
But like, I just, I'm really, if there is something for Cena to continue doing, it's feuding with Jon Stewart, however that would play out.
And that's something I thought about, like, before Raw, is like, how great would we get, like a 4 to 6 month run of Jon Stewart as the GM? It's not like he's doing anything else right now.
He doesn't have another show to do.
Him and his kid love wrestling.
Yeah. Great way for them to spend time together.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, Jon Stewart, not Jon Stewart, the other Jon, John Cena,
yep,
has been title chasing this whole year, pretty much. Because he was in the...
Or title having with U.S. Yes, for a few months.
Royal Rumble, he was in the title shot with the triple threat with Seth and Brock.
Then right after, he immediately started chasing the U.S.
So he was either going for or defending a title every pay-per-view this year.
Yep.
Which he shouldn't be doing at Night of Champions.
What is he with at a pay-per-view so dumbly titled Night of Champions? John Cena finds himself without
what is a champion, non-champion to do?
Without a championship to run after.
Yeah.
What is he to do? Because you know they're going to find a spot for him somewhere on the card.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I could go a month without seeing Cena wrestle. Like, that'd be interesting. But he's probably going to get a match, so.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Is like, I'm honestly interested in if there's going to be repercussions for...
And also, like, he said he was going to, like, you know, he's got something to say to Seth Rollins or something later in the night. That never happened. But then again, Sting happened, so.
Yeah.
Who cares?
So
John Cena is also lying to the people.
So Sting happened.
Yep.
Honestly, I'm fine with that.
Sure. Like I thought that was a like halfway through the promo, because I had heard like, oh, we're probably gonna get Sting at some point during SummerSlam, and I was expecting him the night after SummerSlam. I was kind of expecting him to show up when the other White was, you know, because we heard the rumors that he was gonna join.
Yeah.
Bro Reigns. So I was expecting it then, and so that kind of thought went away for a while. And then, like, you know, we're going to do the reveal to this for the statue at Amp for Rollins at the end of the show. And so, like, halfway through the promo, I was like, I'll be funny if Sting wasn't back there. And then Shazam, there he is. I'm like, man, he had to sit through, like, an 18-minute freaking promo.
So, interesting note.
Uh-huh.
From putting the thing in to the curtain coming up, was 18 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Sting's match at WrestleMania, bell to bell, was almost exactly 18 and a half minutes.
And I guess it was hot because his face was chipping off.
Sting has spent the exact same amount of time wrestling in WWE as he has standing behind a curtain in WWE.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah.
Some would argue he's been standing behind the curtain in WWE for years now.
Also, that seemingly impromptu happy birthday song, just to make Sting stand back there a little longer.
Also feels like a bit of a rib. Yeah. And also, of course, you know, we all know Vince doesn't like stuff like that, especially when it's pointed at him to celebrate him or whatever. As much of a, like, self-loving man he is, he doesn't like when other people talk about how much they love him.
Yeah.
Which is also weird
for
his on-screen persona.
The thing is, like they sang it, and then Triple H said, like, he's going to be so mad standing back there. And now, like, Meg's like, he could be talking about Vince.
Or Sting. Yeah.
Because Sting, you're like, have birthday
songs? And I was half expecting, because, you know, Michael's got a headset on. I was expecting Michael to cut on the radio, or cut on the mic, and be like, yeah, no, he's pissed. Or something along those lines.
So.
Also, does WWE have to pay royalties for that song?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, if you're going to spring for it on the boss's 70th birthday.
Yeah.
70 years old, dear Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. wonder if he'll have another match.
I wouldn't put it past him. I really hope not.
I mean, his last match was a pretty good one against Punk.
Oh, when Punk, yeah.
When Punk punched the fan, yeah. When Punk punched if there was a match to go on, like, he went all out on that match. I remember that.
But I think, like, the last thing he'd ever, last bump he ever took was the, that Brock F5 that sent him to get his hip replaced or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, the last match was a street match against Punk.
Which is nice, because his last real match before that was the Bret Hart one, which was
laughable. Mm,
yeah, so like I'm glad he got that good rough and tumble street match in Punk.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, I'm totally fine with Sting.
Yeah.
I think I said it to you guys.
It'll be interesting to see him with, you know, a current full-time guy.
Yeah.
You know.
I would be really interested in Sting to have like a full-time run for 4 months instead of showing up at Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. The week before SummerSlam, at SummerSlam, like, you know.
So.
This ultimate part-timer schedule.
Night of Champions. Does Rollins turn into Undertaker one more time? And instead of Sting versus Undertaker?
Well, I don't know, because we definitely have to have another Sting or Taker versus Brock match now. So.
Yeah, just the way that they told that story, like, I feel like it has to be a third one.
Yeah.
Either at Survivor Series or at WrestleMania.
It better be a Survivor Series, you guys.
Well, yeah, because they're making a big deal of, like, it's, what, the 20th-something anniversary of his debut at Survivor Series?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, if this is, like, his, because we all assume, like, this is his last run with WWE. If this is his last run, you might as well go all out and do a Survivor Series match as well.
So, I didn't love the way that the match went down.
For SummerSlam?
Yeah. I didn't hate it, but it felt like there were a couple, like, here's the thing.
It was arguably way better than their WrestleMania 30 match.
It was a better match.
Oh, yeah.
In all, you know, no argument there. It was a better match.
And a lot of that had to do with, you know, the fact that Undertaker wasn't concussed in the first 15
seconds. There were zero concussions going on during that match.
That we know of.
But here's the thing is, so the way that it was set, Undertaker tapped on Brock where the ref couldn't see it, and the ref was looking at the pin.
Right.
And so
the timekeeper saw it and ring the bell.
And it's just, it feels like the kind of thing where, like,
which is weird because the time, like, that's never happened.
And
at least, you know, in recent memory, like.
And here's the thing. I feel like because of where Paul Heyman was standing, Paul Heyman can easily see the tap. Paul Heyman is loud and demanding.
Right.
And I feel like all you need to do is have Paul Heyman
yelling, he's tapping.
Yelling, ring the bell. Mm-hmm. And that, like, that kind of thing would have made so much more sense, and Paul Heyman intimidating it to happen, rather than the timekeeper taking initiative for the first time in 50 years.
Right.
So,
and also, like, fans were throwing out, like, oh, you know, maybe it was them trying to, like, do a, like, they call it a Brazilian tap, which is, you know, the opponent who's, you know, in a hold or whatever will, like, tap on the other guy so he feels it, but the ref can't see it, and so the guy will loosen up thinking that he won, you know?
Yeah.
Although, looking back on it, I don't know if Undertaker actually tapped himself or Brock. I don't know.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter, you know? I honestly, is one of those things. It's like, you know, if they're going to do a third match, you might as well go ahead and have Undertaker win one, but win it in a way where Brock's going to be pissed and wants a rematch.
Yeah,
you know, which usually happens if Brock loses for whatever. Brock is going to get pissed. He wants to go again. But it's one of those things. It's like you built Brock up so high. How do you ever have him lose to anybody?
Yeah.
You know, and you're granted, like, if Brock was going to lose clean to anyone, it wouldn't be that bad of a thing to lose clean to The Undertaker, because everybody lost clean to The Undertaker, especially at WrestleMania.
Except for Brock.
But going forward, like, I felt like it made sense. It just ended the show on a weird note.
Yeah. Well, honestly, the thing that really kind of left a taste in my mouth was, so, you go back to the end of WrestleMania 31. The next night, Brock comes out. Brock's pissed. Brock was
Right.
Basically cheated out. He never got pinned.
Mm-hmm.
He was cheated out of his thing. He came out. He was holding up this show until he got his rematch. And when it didn't happen, he tore the thing to pieces.
Well, yeah, that's because he got his hands on Rollins and Rollins left. And then he's like, I got no outlet for my anger, so everyone's going to get the wrath.
This thing is like he did the F5. Mm-hmm. He just like that. And that was impressive and intimidating. And so this time he came out and was like, let's go again.
Mm-hmm.
I won. You tapped. And then I didn't, you know. And so that, but then he like, well, I did a couple F5s to Bo Dallas.
Well, see,
I'm
yeah,
good now.
Yeah.
I'll leave of my own accord.
Exactly. It's like, have you ever seen, you know, them throw like a giant thing of meat into a shark tank? Like, that's exactly, it's like, hey, Bo Dallas, you just feed Brock a little bit.
But it was just like, it didn't seem as intense. It didn't seem as
Lord, no.
Brock's going to kill you as before.
Well, it's because they don't want, you know, Byron Saxton to win commentary by himself again.
Well, like, that's the thing is, like, and I understand that, like, they couldn't have a rematch with Undertaker.
Although they did have a few of the other languages commentators. Maybe have them take an F5. Do we really need the French commentators?
Yeah. A couple other highlights. We haven't mentioned the Dudley Boys coming back.
Friggin' ruined by the internet thing. Yep. It was my own fault. Like, I clicked on, like, the wrong website. Like, it was one of the wrestling blogs, whatever. Yeah. I just, like, happened to click on it because I wanted to see, like, this article that I saw earlier in the day that caught my eye and just hadn't got around to it. And so I went back while I was at work, and it was like, the Dudley Boys are here. I'm like, come on.
Because I gotta say,
that's a good surprise.
It's the first time that I can remember in a long time where, like, nothing. Like, you know, the Taker thing was like, you know, all the pictures of him with the dyed hair came back. I remember Brock Lesnar coming back. Like,
yeah.
They drowned Cena out chanting because they were ready for Brock, because everybody knew.
It was the best surprise since Chris Jericho coming out number two in the Royal Rumble against Dolph Ziggler a couple years ago.
Because
they kept that one completely under wraps.
And so I was so impressed that, you know, and I was talking to Jonah about it, and I was like, you know, Dudley Boys aren't my favorite. This isn't like the end all be all of my childhood coming back.
Right.
But I was just so excited that, like, I did not see that coming. I didn't know about it.
I had
no inkling. So,
like, I had a feeling, like, at some point, because, you know, we just got Bubba Ray at Royal Rumble. So it's like, at some point, they've got to get D-Von and the both of them back, right?
Well, I had...
But after a while, it was like, maybe not.
That's the thing, is like, it happened, and it was kind of one of those, like, nice one-offs when, like, you know, people come back for Royal Rumble. And like,
okay, or now Kevin Nash will come back at, like, every other Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's the thing. I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't heard anything about D-Von coming back. I honestly didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
And it
still felt like that, you know, Bubba Ray or Bully Ray was still kind of bouncing back and forth with TNA. You know, because I think he went back with them like for a little bit, but then like left again. I don't know. I don't follow TNA. Who cares? But you know, it's one of those things, like Mick Foley, like you didn't know exactly where his standing with the company was anymore. You know, that's kind of how I felt with Bubba Ray. I was like, I wasn't sure, you know. And D-Von, he's just, you know, I don't say he's not a sidekick or anything, but he's not going to go really anywhere without Bubba Ray.
Yeah.
And typically vice versa until the whole Bully Ray thing kicked off.
Anything else you want to touch on Raw before we move on to Tough Enough?
I don't believe so.
All right. So Tough Enough happened. It's over.
Yes.
Mick
Foley, like I alluded to earlier, Mick Foley was really pissed at Amanda, and he waited until after the show was already done, but he really, really did not appreciate her doing the whole slut shaming thing.
Well,
and I kind of felt like the same way. Like, you're sitting here playing a heel character, and she kept heart. Like, it was one of those things. Like, you know how annoyed I was getting with Patrick? Like, okay, we get it. You're a fan. Shut up about it. Like, just show us what you've got. Other than that, you know. And this, like, Amanda thing. Like, she kept coming out week after week after week. Like, doing this whole, like, Sarah Lee's not, you know, the girl next door thing. I'm like, we get it. You want, that's the thing that you believe in. Give us something else.
Well, that's the...
So, like, and by that aspect, I was like, just shut up and give me Sarah Lee to win, you know?
That's the thing is, like, let me just... For anybody who's ever in any sort of competition...
Yeah.
You know, just at where you have any sort of popular vote...
Mm-hmm.
There is a big difference between the two tactics of vote for me and vote against my opponent.
Right. Because, and see, that was the thing. Josh, he won basically because he had blinders on. And he was running his own race, you know? I hate those kind of metaphors, but it's the truth. You know, Amanda was so much... Because, and honestly, Josh didn't have to do anything about ZZ because it felt like WWE was doing enough
well,
try to not expose ZZ, but kind of expose ZZ.
Yeah.
You know, because they really didn't want him to win. But that with Amanda, like, oh, I was playing a heel persona. And I'm like, okay, you've been in the business for like 8-9 weeks. I don't think you know that well how to be a heel.
Also...
You could eventually be a natural heel, sure.
Why? It's a popularity contest.
Right. I guess like she just thought that she knew the support that Sarah Lee was going to have, and I guess she just thought this was the only way to go about trying to chip away at it.
Yeah.
But see, that, like the thing with Josh, like he didn't chip away at ZZ's lead by just saying like how much ZZ was awful. He was just like, I'm going to continue to build my support. Well, the whole dumb Yeti thing, but it got people behind him, so it worked.
Here's the thing is, like, you can go back and watch those, the final pleas.
Yeah.
And almost down the line, pleas that are other people should go home didn't work.
No.
Pleas that are I should stay worked a lot better than other people and should go home.
That's where Sarah Lee, like, that's where she really kind of found a lot of her momentum. Like, a lot of her, you know... Her final pleas, I don't know if it's exactly what kept her, but it's where she looked the strongest.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you know, we were going into it with Josh beating ZZ for the first time last week, and so there's a little bit of like, okay, well, I'm interested in that. And like the,
but you also look at it. We also talked about how like the ZZ curse, like whoever was yelling at ZZ that week went home.
Yeah.
Do you ever remember Josh yelling at ZZ?
No, he didn't.
There you go.
And so this thing where. You know, all of a sudden, this felt anybody's ball game.
Yeah.
At the very end of the whole show, and so like looking at the diva side, where I was like, maybe this could go either way. And then Amanda, 5 minutes into the show, doubles down on that ring rat reasoning, and I'm like,
I heart back on what Mick Foley said. It's like I can't believe nobody like told her like, yeah, don't go that route. Like it's not gonna benefit you at all.
Well, here's the thing. Let's.
And it's really going to do nothing but damage you.
Let's say you won, and then you have to go to the Performance Center with all the NXT guys who you buried just as hard as Sarah Lee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
then you have, you know, people, like, females that are in your division who now feel like they can't really be open or honest around you because you're just going to be, like, you're going to be judgmental about what they do.
It's such a weird move. Like,
exactly. And like I said last week, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares what you do with your spare time? If you really are a ring rat and you sleep around or if you just hang out with people that happen to be guys, who cares?
Yeah.
You're all consenting adults. You can do what you want on your own time.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and again, like, I don't... It's such a dumb thing... It was such a dumb thing for Amanda to do.
Yeah.
I will say this. Out of all the four matches, probably the only one that looked least awkward was probably Josh.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Except for his underwear.
Yeah.
That was weird.
I didn't
costume
dig that.
Choice.
I did not dig that at all. ZZ looked like he did not belong.
Here's the
girls were, you know, it was... I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, neither one of them really seemed comfortable.
Here's the thing about ZZ. So, ZZ on both, like, the end of the show and then on Tough Talk, everybody's comments on ZZ were along the lines of, like, you almost fooled us. You almost got away
right,
with it.
Yeah.
But we saw through your wily ways at the end. And I was like, eh. That's not really the case. Like, I don't think anybody was like, ZZ should be. I feel like they were. Because here's the thing. ZZ won't ever, I don't think, will ever do WWE now.
No.
If they got, and they have this failsafe in Tough Enough where they just release them anyway, even if they win.
Yes.
Like, so it doesn't really mean anything. But ZZ would have been a delightful Santino-level comedy character. I don't think anybody, I'm sure some people, but the most people were not voting ZZ being like, this is the champion, this is the new Rock or Cena or Stone Cold or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is the guy I want to break Ric Flair's record. And nobody was that. He's a funny dude and he'd do nice, funny side stuff.
Right.
So I don't feel like there was wool being pulled over anybody's ass. Mm-hmm. I will say this. They showed the before and after of ZZ and I'm like, you know what? He really does look better. Like, he looks better. He looks more in shape. And then they showed Josh. And
you're like, nope.
I take that back, sir.
Nope.
Josh looks amazing.
Also, I did kind of enjoy all the one-liners by Triple H in the Tough Talk this week.
Yeah.
Like, aimed at ZZ, aimed at Miz. I loved it.
My favorite thing was where you know, he was talking about, like, charisma's important.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Jericho's like, yeah, Bret Hart does a lot of charisma, and Jeff Hardy does. And, like, he said, Jeff Hart and Triple H is like, yes, Bret Hart is very good. That is right. Now back to the thing on hand. It's like, ooh. Those wounds are still tender, apparently.
Either that or you're just like, okay, Chris Jericho, we get it. Stop. You're being just smart for your own company. Calm down.
So
yeah. The right guy won on the men's side.
Yeah.
On the female side, it was kind of 50-50, honestly. Amanda really never impressed me one way or the other. And honestly, like, if I had to choose from the
roster,
the roster that we had on, or the cast or whatever, I probably maybe would have gone like Gigi or Chelsea.
Chelsea is what I would have gone.
I mean, yeah, and see, like, how much more, just imagine, like, in the final two for each side, like, Chelsea would have been on one and Patrick would have been on the other. How much less awkward would those matches be, and how much would they blow out of the water their opponent on each side, mm-hmm, because they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know? I did like the where Josh tried to do the European uppercut to Cesaro, and Cesaro was like, no.
No.
And just laid him out. It was incredible. I'm assuming that was planned, but I don't know if, like, maybe it was a rib on the Tough Enough cast, but I don't know if someone told, like, Alicia Fox, and Cesaro was like, be a little extra stiff on this one. Just welcome into the fraternity. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was a couple of moments where, like, that looked like it hurt. And a part of that had to do with, like, they're super new to this, and they're one of their first matches is broadcast in front of millions of people.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not going to do everything right. They're going to be jittery. They're going to be nervous.
Well, here's the thing.
They're going to screw up things, and it's probably going to hurt.
If it was me, and my first match was on live television, determining whether it was me or that guy winning $250,000 and a contract, hit me. Hit me real. Hit me hard.
Absolutely.
That'll heal. I would rather, I'd rather take the hard hit than have any risk of being accused of soft hits.
And I know this is nitpicky, but it wasn't their first match.
No.
Their first match was in front of the NXT roster.
Well, I was really curious if they, like, I really wanted to know if, like, someone hit with Patrick had made it all the way, if they were like, Patrick's first match!
Right. And like, they're just like, okay, calm down. Yeah.
So, I'm interested mostly in Josh. Like,
I'm interested to see how, like, what they can do with Sarah.
Yeah.
You know, like, and see how much she can progress. I do like how everyone kind of laughed at her when she said, you know, within a year I'll be on the, she didn't necessarily say, like, I'll be on the main roster. She's like, I'll be in, you know, the WWE in a year or so. And they're like, no.
Again, I don't know if you're quite ready for the NXT Divas, Sarah Lee. Maybe you better start it out on Raw.
We can have a new Funkadactyl.
Well, okay. Anything else we need to cover?
I don't know. What's making you happy?
The weekend. The whole.
It was a fun weekend.
It was a solid weekend of daily wrestling that I enjoyed. So
I'm happy.
It felt like WrestleMania weekend almost.
Aside from that, I'm happy that the summer of Netflix is finished. anyone who's been following Irrelevant But Awesome on Facebook, on our Blogspot, all that fun stuff, on Twitter, you know that we've been doing the summer Netflix thing for the past 66 days.
Yeah.
Basically, just a quick explanation for people that don't know. Basically, we pick a Netflix movie, or movie on Netflix, one a day, watch it, and write like a short review every single day. And we did that for the entire summer. And I never thought I would be so burnt out and exhausted from watching stuff on Netflix.
Yeah.
It felt like such a chore.
Well, it felt like it was such a race to keep up the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really just what it was.
Yeah.
Because there were things where I was like, I have to, you know, where I was watching stuff, you know, the day of.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I gotta watch this, and I gotta watch another one later, so that's tomorrow.
Yeah. And pulling back the curtain a little bit, because apparently, like, some people just didn't get the concept. We had a schedule, like, put in place, like, a while ago, so we'd watch ahead and try to get ahead of on all our reviews and stuff. I still, like, had people be like, hey, I know you said, like, you're gonna watch such and such movie on, like, this day next week. Hey, can I come over and watch it with you, like, on that day? I'm like, I've already watched it. I've already reviewed it. It's like, oh. How do you not get that? Like, come on. Like, I had to explain that to Beardsley, like, three times.
Done.
And I can say that, and I'd not be afraid that he's going to hurt me because he doesn't listen to our podcast. Because he's a terrible friend. But beyond that, you know what time it is.
I know what time it is.
It's time for the mail sack.
Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your
mail. All right, this comes from Twitter, from @martyrshow. Our friend Khan, we haven't heard from him in a while. So, that being said, he has two tweets that he wants us to answer. Liger taking selfie was all kinds of amazing, but how do we feel about the upcoming feud between Big Mass John and RoboCop? That's right. Sean's back with his weekly RoboCop question.
I would like to answer that question with another question.
Okay.
Does it?
He's not here to answer, but
I
okay.
know, but does it just burn you up inside that there's Terminator DLC and not RoboCop DLC for that upcoming game?
Then again, that RoboCop reboot was no.
Oh, I know.
I know. And not saying like Terminator Genesis was like a masterpiece or anything, but Terminator's a kind of a different animal altogether. Also, he had a follow-up. And do you think Lord Zedd will do a run-in during the Man They Call Steve match versus the White Power Ranger Rollins? Sure.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have a real answer for that.
No. it was good to hear from Shaw. I'm glad he's watching wrestling again. And please stop sending us RoboCop-related questions, which is only going to make you send in more RoboCop-related questions.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter @CRAttire, where we live tweet Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Yep, and if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show that isn't RoboCop, you can send all that to our email, that's classyringattire@gmail.com.
Don't forget to look us up on iTunes, easiest way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe, give us a rating of
5 RoboCops.
Or write a review, that kind of stuff just helps out the podcast with iTunes metrics.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Also, check us out on Facebook. Easy way to follow the podcast. Easy way to follow Chris and myself. Just kind of keep up with what's going on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.